We live in extraordinary times. It's hardly anything new to say. Extraordinary times call for extraordinary efforts from all of us. And today, the form of our extraordinary effort is going to take this form. I am going to lead you in memorizing an entire verse from Scripture. Are you ready?
Yes.
Repeat after me. Rejoice always.
Rejoice always.
I'm going to let you try that again. Rejoice always.
Rejoice always.
You have just memorized the entirety of the 16th verse of the 5th chapter of the first letter to the Thessalonians. Try it again. Now, how does that sound to you today? How does that sound to you at the end of this awful year? How does that sound to you with Tuscany still laboring in orange? With none of us being able to travel outside of our regions and cities. Do you feel like rejoicing? Say it again. Yeah, it wasn't quite as enthusiastic that time, was it? How do you think it would go for us if we went out from here and went out into the world wearing buttons that said to the people around us, rejoice always? Ricardo taught me to say it in Italian. Rallegrate sempre. Right? Yes, okay, good. What do you suppose they would think of us? But that is the Christian message today. You have been anointed to preach good news today, all of you. Today of all days, right now, of all times, we are meant to go into this world bearing this news. Rejoice always. How on earth can we believe that message ourselves, let alone be the bearers of that news into the world? There's an answer to that. And it may not be the answer you imagine it is. In fact, it may be the answer that is the least likely joy you ever thought you'd find. And the answer has something to do with that little story we just heard about John the Baptist and his exchange with those interrogators. We talked about John last week, remember? This morning he does something that the world we live in would regard as subversive or insane. Everyone is coming out to see John. Everyone wants to hear him. Everyone is talking about him. They think maybe he's the one. They get others talking too. There is a buzz around John. He is the celebrity of the moment. Everyone is wondering what he'll do next, what he'll say next. They would do anything he asked them to do. And what does he do? At that very moment, at the pinnacle of his influence, he moves himself out of the spotlight. He teaches the people around him by his own example. He moves himself out of the center of his own story in order to make room for God. That is the key to our rejoicing. That is the key to how we can both find and share that joy. As long as we are the center of our own lives, our worries, our frailties, our fears, our struggles are going to overwhelm us. Those of you who are parents already know a little bit about this because you have lived through that moment of beholding this new life you have brought into being and suddenly realizing you are no longer the center of your own world. You have been decentered from your own story. You have been dethroned as the sovereign of your own realm. That is very good practice. Because all of us who are disciples are meant to live through such a moment. God's hope for us is that we will take all of these talents we have been given, all of these skills, these capabilities, all this knowledge that we've gained, and once we realize all we have been given, to step out of the center of our own lives so that God has a place to come and live with us. Not on the edges, not on the fringes, not in the tiny little guest room that we keep sort of off in the corner, but right in the center of our lives. The only way we can do that is to follow John's example, to step aside right at the height of our own possibilities to make room for what is coming. That may sound a little bit like being diminished, but it is just the opposite. Because it is the answer to this question: how can we live into this command, rejoice always? How can we possibly find joy in this world, in this time of trouble? If we step out of the center of our own story and make space, a little space, for what is coming, we will discover suddenly at the center of our very lives the source of light and love that is the God who comes to live among us in this world. And instead of our own troubles being at the middle of our souls, instead of being dominated by the things that give us fear or worry or distress, in the center of our hearts will be God's joy, God's light, God's reckless, unfettered, unpredictable, and unconquerable joy. When that is true, then yes, we will rejoice always. Christians are meant to be many things: compassionate, merciful, caring. But we are also meant to be defiant. The prayer book teaches us, even at the grave, we make our song, Alleluia. Well, by God's grace, we are not there yet. We are here in the midst of all this sorrow and stress, all this worry and woe, and here is our song, Rejoice Always. It's not a suggestion, friends. It's our duty. God is coming into our lives. And if we just move over a little bit and make room, the joy that can only come from God's love for us, will come and transform us too. Amen.